Or maybe we're doing how to equip biblical counselors for the local church. You should all have a handout plus a little flyer on a book that will be out on this topic come September. We'll be talking a little bit more about that. Let me briefly introduce myself, since for some of you I'm a new face here, and then I'll open us in prayer and we'll get into our material. They do like us in new tracks or this topic option night to introduce ourselves. I've been speaking a little bit in track six and also in track four. I think this is my fourth or fifth year being connected and speaking here. Some of you know I'm connected with Steve Byers. I knew him when he was four and I was five, and so we go way back, track together through Baptist Bible College and Grace Seminary, and working together with Steve now in the Biblical Counseling Coalition. We'll be making an announcement about that Thursday night, an update, and my role now, at least part-time role, is the executive director of the new Biblical Counseling Coalition. Excited about that. I've pastored three churches, and in each of those churches, and we'll talk a little bit more later, very different churches. I've equipped lay counselors, so I'll be talking from my experience. I also launched the Counseling and Discipleship Department at Capital Bible Seminary in Lanham, Maryland, near Washington, D.C., and was chairman of that for over a dozen years. They've now given me a fancy title, Professor at Large, which means I come back and teach once in a while. Or I'm a large professor. I'm not sure how to take that title. Those are some of the various roles I have. I'm also working with the Association of Biblical Counselors as we're launching a Center for Church Equipping. We'll be doing a lot of this teaching. In fact, what I'm doing tonight in 1 hour, we'll be doing sometimes in one-day seminars and sometimes in almost a full-week seminar. So you are getting a quick overview version here, but I believe it'll give you some insights. Let me open us in prayer, and then we'll talk some more about our topic for tonight. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for these men and women, obviously passionate about equipping others for biblical counseling, for one another ministry in the church. Pray that you'll keep our bodies and minds focused on one more hour here today, not only for this session, but 9 or 10 others going on at this time, that we would all learn together, be able to glorify you as we apply biblical principles to our lives and ministries. We pray this together in Christ's name. Amen. On your cover page, toward the bottom before you turn to your second page, it's kind of our focus. This is what I'm assuming about you as you're here, that you're passionate about equipping God's people for every member ministry, or maybe you thought this was Hebrew exegesis of Leviticus. One way or another, you're here, and I'm assuming you're passionate about that topic. However, I'm also assuming that you're somewhat tired of seeing great effort expended on programs that really don't launch, don't last, or don't result in leaving a legacy of loving leaders. And I'm tired of that too. And that's why I want to share with you what we're talking about is a biblical, field-tested, best practice approach. I mentioned that I was involved in launching three counseling programs in three very different churches. One urban megachurch of 3,000 to 4,000 people. One rural church that was about 100 when I went there as senior pastor. God grew it to about 300. And one suburban church of about 500. You couldn't get churches more different than those three churches were. Part of what I'm going to share with you tonight are mistakes I made so I can keep you from making those. There have not been, surprisingly, many books written, certainly not from a biblical counseling perspective, on equipping counselors in the local church. So when I first started this in the late 1980s, I was pretty much on my own, making it up as I went along. So I stumbled quite a bit and hope to help you not stumble so much. I also had the privilege in working on this book, and you see the flyer there on your table that'll be coming out in September, of doing some extensive interview and research and surveys with 24 best practice churches around the country. So what I'm sharing tonight, what I'll be sharing in the book, is not just coming from my experience in three churches, but Kevin Carson, who's back there, Pastor Carson was one of the 24, Rob Green and Pastor Steve Byers here, Robert Chong at Sojourners Church, Mike Wilkerson, so really, and a number of smaller churches, African-American churches, Asian American churches, so really a cross-cultural slice of how you approach this. Because one thing we're going to talk about and emphasize, there is not a one-size-fits-all approach to this. If you do that, you're back to programs instead of really trying to transform people. Just before you turn your page to the first page, I'd like to just give you a little bit of my thinking about how we need to think about the church. We all hear that the church needs to be a hospital for the hurting. And I certainly agree with that, but I'd like to take that a step further. The church needs to be a training hospital. And think about that difference. And you need to be, the reason I'm assuming you're here, is you want to be like the chief medical resident trainer at that training hospital, the chief of staff, if you will. So yes, a hospital for the hurting, but a training hospital where you're that chief trainer of soul physicians and biblical counselors. Now you can finally turn the page. Some of you probably did that already. As we start, the big picture I want you to think about is, are you a Milton Berle or an Ed Sullivan? Now, my publisher pushed back a little bit. Do you really want to use something that's dated? But I think it's classic, and once you hear the illustration, I think you get it, whether you have ever heard of Milton Berle or Ed Sullivan or not, and hopefully we will get that. But back in 1948, two shows hit the airwaves. One was on Tuesdays, one was on Sunday. Both were very popular initially, but the most popular one initially was the Milton Berle show, or actually known as the Texaco Star Theater. Now, probably few of us want to admit that we were watching any TV in 1948. The show lasted 8 years, and initially what happened on this show, in fact, both shows were kind of like the old vaudeville shows, where you would bring in six, seven, eight different people, and Milton Berle was kind of the host, would bring other people to center stage. But increasingly, it shifted from Milton Berle bringing other people under the spotlight to everything being about Milton Berle. Uncle Milty, as he's known, his show ran out of steam after 8 years, which teaches us a basic principle that no one person can lead a TV show or a ministry on their own, focus on themselves for a long time. Now, in contrast to Uncle Milty, you have Ed Sullivan, whose show lasted to 1978, 15 years beyond what the Milton Berle show or Texaco Star Theater lasted. If any show could be called an institution, it would have been the Ed Sullivan show. He never wavered from his commitment that the spotlight would not be on him, but instead he would bring others to the spotlight. And so folks like these have been the Supremes and Elvis Presley and even Walt Disney and others got their beginning on the Milton or on the Ed Sullivan show. He died not long after the show left the airwaves in 1971, but his legacy lived far beyond him. And really our question is, which do we want to be? Do we want to be a Milton Berle where the spotlight is on ourselves as pastors or leaders in our churches, or do we want to be an Ed Sullivan where we turn the spotlight and the equipping and the training and the ministry to other people? In many ways, what we're talking about, and we can shift gears now from a TV illustration to a solid biblical principle, are we going to be involved in the ministry of equipping the saints for the works of ministry? So what we're talking about, going from the big picture to the big question, two questions here to think about, and what we want to give you an overview concerning tonight. How do we effectively disciple the body of Christ for one another ministry in the church and to the community? Of course, you know that this church is a prime example where biblical counseling is not only ministry for the church, but ministry perhaps even more so to the community. How do you do that? And one another ministry, whatever you want to call it. And in the three different churches I was in, and I tried, and we'll talk in a moment, of plopping the mega church model on the small rural church, and it didn't work. We had to shift gears to much more of a one another focus in the smaller church, at least for the first couple of years as we grew the church and the mentality and went through the change management process. Are we one minister, or are we equippers of an army of ministers, of one another ministers? Again, are we a Milton Berle or an Ed Sullivan? Another way to put this, how do we leave a legacy of loving leaders? You see the passing of the baton there. Again, to me, anybody that's at a training conference like this ought to be thinking not only, I want to be doing the work of the ministry, but I want to be equipping others to do the work of the ministry. The whole difference between addition or multiplication in our lives. Now, anytime we start talking about something like this, and you see the whole 4E ministry training strategy, I know where your mind goes. It goes exactly where mine would. That's another program, right? You're going to plop this one-size-fits-all approach onto everybody, and I really want to highlight at the beginning that that's not it at all. Notice the next point here. The end goal is transform people, a relational process.